Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, into hour number two, we merrily march in the TNT Army at the Locked and Loaded show. I'm your host, Rick Mahn, for the next 2 hours, hopefully. I still have two people to talk to. Later on in the show, Mr. Basil Valentine will be joining us from Blighty. Basil is a comrade in arms with none other than Mr. Patrick Henningsen, who also has a show here on TNT Radio on a Tuesday and a Thursday, I believe, just after me for 3 hours. So yeah, you're blessed. You get the old one too. You get Rick Mahn and then you get Patrick Henningsen. What could be better, eh? What could be better? I'm sure there's lots of things could be better, but I'm trying to big myself up here. So please forgive me. Before I welcome... Well, I can't say enough good about this guy. I love this guy. I'm going to be honest. It's a bit of bro love. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to run away from it. I love this guy who's coming up next. He has a special place in my heart. He was my very first guest on TNT Radio. We filled in when someone else let me down, and he's been there ever since. None other than Mr. Stephen Kelly. But enough adulation for old Steve-O. Before I welcome him to take the mic, let's cast our eye across the world stage and see what's happening. In America, it's just been reported that New Orleans is requiring children aged 5 years and up have the COVID shot or they will not be allowed to attend school. Yes, so in Denmark, on one hand, you have the removal of all COVID injections for under 18s. They're not giving it out to children anymore under any circumstances. From February, you can't get a second shot if you've had a first shot, and you won't be able to get any, period, under 18. But in New Orleans, children of 5 and up are being mandated to get jabbed or they will not be allowed to attend school. This is absolute madness, reporter Clay Travis writes on Twitter. Yes, it is. There's no uniformity. There's no rhyme nor reason behind any of this, but that's the position that we find ourselves in. In Sri Lanka, somewhere that we've been covering here on Locked and Loaded since about February time, we saw the writing on the wall. We saw the degeneration politically, economically, and socially, and reckoned all hell would break loose. It has. The government's imploded. The people are going nuts. There's fuel rationing with QR codes. And now, last night, Sri Lanka have raised their electricity prices by, wait for it, 264%. Overnight. So if you're paying a dollar for your electricity today, you'll be paying $2.64 tomorrow. That's just the way it is. And if you don't pay up, you'll get cut off. So the loss-making Ceylon Electricity Board had requested 800% increase. So the government are doing you guys a favor in Sri Lanka by only increasing your prices by 256% in a day instead of 800%. It's hell on earth, but that's what's happening over in Sri Lanka. In the UK, the Daily Mail is reporting that Britain is bracing itself for winter blackouts under emergency plans for January. Again, seeding things into people's heads, getting them worked up, getting them anxious, and then after Christmas, at possibly the worst time of year, January, depressing, start of a new year, highest suicide rate of any month of the year, apparently is in January. Everybody's so down after Christmas. Yeah, they're going to whack us even harder with more price cap rises and blackouts and energy shortages, and it's only August. Hell, they wouldn't even let us get out of August, and they're talking about January. This is the strategies of which our governments and our media employ to keep us in a state of perpetual terror and fear and uncertainty and stress. Yes, I said it. So anyway, if you're listening in, which obviously you are, or you wouldn't be hearing me right now, unless it's a pre-record, or you're listening back on podcast, and even if so, this applies. If you have a community event, if you have a rally, if you have a get-together planned of like-minded individuals to give each other a G-up anywhere in the world, check out TNT's website, tntradio.live. We have a What's On section, a calendar section. You can submit your event or your gathering or your rally or your protest to us, and for free, out of the goodness of our hearts, from the very depths of our generosity, we shall promote it for you, FOC. And that means free of charge in case anybody thinks it means something rude. So yeah, we'll promote it for you free. Get in touch, tntradio.live, submit the event to the calendar, and one of our lovely staff will pick up on it and give you a little bit of a promo, a little bit of a boost to your event, only on TNT Radio.
Stay up to date on the latest news.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Stephen Kelly, Aussie legend, is back broadcasting from, I don't know, it looks like a dodgy hotel room you're in right now. Where are you at?
I'm in the hotel room, Rick. Yeah, Ramwick.
Are you?
Yeah.
How did I know that, Stephen? I'll tell you why, because I've been in a few dodgy hotel rooms in my time, and trust me, my friend, that one you're in that now looks like dodgy as hell.
It's not too bad, actually, Rick. They've renovated it, but I can see why you think that.
Yeah, listen, I just know things, Stephen. I have a feeling about things, and when I call them, sometimes I get them right. Sometimes I get them wrong. So I just knew instinctively this guy's in a hotel room, because I've seen you in home, I've seen you at work, and I remember things, and I'm thinking this looks different. And I looked at the light, and I looked at the curtains, and I looked at that little aircon unit behind your right ear, and I thought hotel room. So I was right.
You're right, Rick.
Why are you in a hotel room, by the way? Can you tell me that, or is that classified?
I've sort of been staying in hotel sort of accommodation in Sydney. I was traveling back to Tumut on the weekends, but I haven't sort of got myself any permanent accommodation yet, because I was sort of trying to work out whether there was any chance of a reconciliation with my other half, but that's not looking likely. Mate, so so that's why I've still been in a hotel room, but I'm looking for permanent accommodation now somewhere in Sydney.
What about Nicklick? I'm sure he's got a few spare bedrooms in his house. Where doesn't he put you up? What kind of a friend is he?
He's offered for me to stay there, but Rick, but I sort of
him up on it, man.
No, I think we need our own space. I think we're around each other enough during the day. I think he needs his space and I need mine. So
effectively what you're saying is you can't stand him. He's offered you a roof over your head, no questions asked. And you're like, nah, Tony, I'd rather pay out of my own pocket and stay in a hotel room than stick you at night after I've finished working with you. That's the message you're giving, all right? That's the message you're giving to Tony Nicolick, by the way. And if you're listening, Tony, mwah, big kiss to you. I love you too. Yeah, you guys are great.
Now, he's at a fundraiser tonight, Rick, so hopefully he's not listening.
Oh, he'll be listening, all right, because I'm going to text him and I'm going to say, Steve-O's been slagging you off. But actually, you talk about accommodation. There are more and more reports coming through of pods in houses that people are now renting, a living pod in a house, stackable pods, especially in Melbourne, actually. There's one house in particular. Some guy has bought 12 pods and stacked them up in his spare bedroom. So he's now getting like four people to a bedroom, but they all live in a pod and he's charging them hundreds of dollars a week and he has full occupancy. That's how bad things are at the minute, that people are so desperate to get a roof over their head or a pod over their head that they're actually prepared to sleep in like a coffin-like structure in Vic just to be able to have an address or a postal address that they can work out of. That's the way things are going in Oz at the minute.
Yeah, well, that's pretty depressing that that's occurring in Australia, but you're seeing it quite regularly in Sydney too. There's a lot of there's a lot more homeless people that you see on the streets in a lot of suburbs now. So that's the reality, you know. And the disappointing thing is that the government has spent so much money fighting this invisible virus, yet they can't fix the housing situation in our country or many other issues in relation to, you know, people that are struggling through these times. So it shows you what sort of a society we are. And I remember, a state coroner saying once that, you know, you judge a society by the way it treats its most vulnerable people. And I think Australia at the present time is a pretty pathetic society.
That was me messaging you, by the way. That little thing, I think. Yeah, and I'll tell you what I just sent you. Actually, that's how professional I am. As I'm talking and we're talking, I'm actually able to send you information about the very topics that we're discussing so you can see them for your own 2 days. It's a news report, you lovely listeners who are maybe curious what I've just sent Stephen. So it's a news report from Seven News in Australia that was broadcast this week to say that single bed sleeping pods are going for hundreds of dollars a week in the current rental crisis. So when you get time after the show, cast your eye on that. This is actually happening right now. And not only is it happening, but there's a waiting list for people to get these pods. They're actually lining up to book a pod because, let's face it, people are in no man's land. Maybe you can't afford to rent a house, maybe, I don't know, $2,000 a month, and you don't want to stay in like a B&B all the time. So you're like, well, I'd like something a little bit more stable, but I don't have the finances. So they're maybe like, okay, I'll maybe spend $800 a month on a pod in a house with some other sort of half-decent people. It's almost like a, how would you say, a halfway house or a no man's land in between being homeless and having a place of your own. It's a brutal market out there at the minute, and it looks like it's going to get worse.
By the sounds of it, you're right. And yeah, I mean, I just so I actually do remember seeing that that article on the news feed. Now that you've sent it to me, and it's certainly. It's not a positive indication of what's around the corner, and I've, you know, so we are facing a reality of a housing crisis in Australia. There's going to be an energy crisis. There's probably going to be a food crisis soon. Mm-hmm. The governments are doing everything, aren't they, to bring these events on? So,
On the housing front, let's just look at that for another second here. For the last 2 years, the reports have always been the prices are going up, the prices are going up. It's impossible to buy in Sydney. It's impossible to buy in Melbourne. It's impossible to buy in Perth. Prices up, 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 even through the so-called pandemic. It looks like now, as with most places, that the peak has been hit, and now that the house prices are on a downward spiral, or they're about to start a severe, sharp drop in prices, alongside constantly increasing interest rates in Australia, is this not a perfect storm for people that have bought in the last year or two? They're going to find themselves with massive mortgage payments that they can't maybe sustain and possibly have to sell up and get out and still owe the bank money. Does it not catch people in this debt trap?
Yeah, exactly. You're right, Rick, that the value of the houses go down. So obviously their asset depreciates, and they end up coming away, as you say, with losing the house and also owing more money. So it's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? With what's happening, and unfortunately, I think that as you probably would agree too, that a lot of this is being orchestrated, and it's to bring about a worldwide financial collapse.
It is. And you know, the sad thing, my friend, the sad thing is that we've tried to raise awareness of this. Some people accept what we say. Some people dismiss it. They say it's the stuff of lunacy. Sadly, as is the case with most tragedies in history, people absolutely will realize what is being done. But unfortunately, it will be a little bit too late for many. It will be when they're in the queues for the food banks, and they're in the queues for social security benefits because their jobs have gone and their homes have gone and their livelihoods have gone and they have nowhere to stay and there's nowhere to put them. At that point, sadly, the penny will drop. I mean, you can't deny it at that point. And they can blame COVID, they can blame Putin, but the reality is that people are standing there in distress, and they will be, you know, all fingers will be pointing towards the so-called governments that are supposed to be looking after their people, but in reality, they're just out to harm them. I mean, to me, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, it couldn't be any clearer, could it, really, to those that you know, are able to think objectively about all these events, because if it's a conspiracy theory, there's a lot of coincidences that are happening at the moment that don't seem to make a lot of rational sense, do they?
No, they don't. And you know what? That's why it's a good thing to talk. It's actually been about 4 or 5, maybe 5 weeks actually since I was last talking to you on air. The time goes by so fast. And if you actually look at, when you come on, the amount of stuff that happens, like, for example, since the last time you were speaking to me, is crazy. The amount of world events and changes and interest rates, changes in politics, changes in who's in office, changes in wars. We're not talking on an annual basis here or a two-year basis. We're literally talking every 4 to 5 weeks. There's a massive shift in either narratives or economics or politics or environment or all of the above. It's all happening at a pretty alarming rate. So it's good to keep an eye on things. It's good to keep on point with these things. We're going to take a quick break, 2 minutes. And when we come back, we're going to look at some other issues that are affecting you lovely people in Australia. Because let's face it, it's nice to know there's other people that are in the same boat and that have the same mindset, because sometimes you can feel a little bit isolated out there. So listener, if you're listening in and you're feeling a little bit lonely and a bit isolated, trust me, you're not alone. We've got your back here, at least sonically, for a couple of hours a day or however long you want to listen into on TNT Radio.
Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Here's a question. Like, you could look at something like polar bears, and they're clearly, their numbers are up. There's more than they've ever counted. The U.S. Geological Survey says they're probably at or near historic population highs, more than they've ever counted.
The models predicted that the Arctic was going to be ice-free. Remember, there was not going to be any ice up at the Arctic Circle anymore. They all predicted that. Did it happen? No. Now ice is bigger than it ever was. And then they have another model, a polar bear model, if you like, downstream of this climate model, which uses the climate model. The polar bear model uses the climate model and then projects the number of polar bears that there's going to be. And you, of course, everybody remembers, they said they were going to diminish and probably die off because there was not going to be any Arctic sea ice. There was not going to be any polar bears. And both turned out to be whoppingly false.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
How about some good news? There is a cure for hepatitis C. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. One little blood test and you'll have done your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested, get treated, get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
Bullets are not shot at us from the barrels of guns.
Poisons are shot into us from the barrels of syringes.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Stephen Kelly has very kindly agreed to join me this evening to talk shop, to talk Australia, to get into the nitty-gritty. Stephen was in the cops for, 30-odd years, had a great career, won a few awards as well. Decent guy, but vaccine mandates, no, not playing ball with those at all. So he resigned his position. And yeah, he's now working for a solicitor's practice out of Sydney, AFL Solicitors, a little plug for them, along with Mr. Tony Nicolick, who's a semi-regular on the show now when he can be bothered. When he feels he has the energy to get online, he'll talk to me, and he's a good guy too. So if you're in Sydney and you're getting it tight, legally, check out aflsolicitors.com.au. And that's just off the top of my head how I can remember these things. I do not know. Now, listen, something I want to throw at you here. The lack of consistency So we try and keep things topical, and there's threads that run through what we talk about. So earlier on, I said that in America, they're mandating jabs for five-year-olds or they can't attend school. In Denmark, they have said this week that the Ministry of Health has said that nobody under 18 will be getting a jab, whether they like it or not. So they're pulling it. Okay, so the EU, and this is on TNT's Twitter page, which is at TNT Radio Live, and reporting on something that was on ABC News in Australia. The EU says Novavax's COVID-19 vaccine should carry a warning. So in the EU, we're told that this brand of vaccine, this Novavax vaccine, should carry a warning. But the Australian expert, who has remained nameless, says that there is no major issue with the vaccine. So are we getting more mixed messages here? We have the EU saying this should have a warning, and Australians are saying, well, no, it shouldn't. It's not a big deal. Who do we believe?
It's interesting that they won't name the Australian expert that's given that advice.
See if I can find him, actually.
Yeah. But it's certainly, it's consistent, isn't it, to some extent now that the warnings and dangers of these injections are starting to become more and more revealed on to the public and you know, organisations such as the CDC and the European Medicines Agency is starting to be probably a little bit more open about some of the flaws in these drugs, but no one in Australia, unfortunately, is prepared to question at all these injections as being unsafe in any way, shape, or form. I think that Australia is on par with Canada and as being, two of the most draconian countries in the world, Western democracies, where the doctors aren't allowed to speak up and the science is just not questioned at all.
Yeah, I found the article, by the way, just to put a name to the article. So this was appearing on abc.net.au on Friday, which was the 5th of August, so only 5 days ago. So the European Medicines Agency, the EMA, is recommending Novavax's COVID vaccine carries a warning of the rare possibility that it will cause two types of heart inflammation. So it's went from almost impossible to very rare to now rare. They believe there should be a warning. The heart condition, myocarditis and pericarditis, should be listed as side effects. So later on in the article, Adelaide epidemiologist and biostatistician Adrian Esterman, so there's your name, Adrian Esterman, has said that all medicines carry a risk of causing unwanted side effects, but overall severe adverse outcomes from vaccines were very rare and do not warrant a warning to be put on the vial. So Europe says there needs to be a warning, but Adrian Esterman says no warning is needed. That's what I mean. You know, how are you supposed to take, if you go to a doctor, let's say you're a smoker, and you go to two doctors, you go to the first doctor and you say, doctor, should I quit smoking? And he goes, no, Stephen, don't worry about it. It's fine. It doesn't do you any harm at all. And you think, that sounds a bit odd. So you go for a second opinion and you come to me and I say, well, actually, Stephen, it could cause lung cancer. It's going to cause emphysema, bronchial issues, and so on and so forth. Throat cancer, mouth cancer. I think you should quit. You know, who are you going to listen to? The guy who's warning you that it could kill you, or the guy that say, "Ah, just tear on and don't worry about it. You'll be right, mate. You'll be right." Isn't that what you Australians say? You'll be right. So maybe the Australian government should put a message on the vial or on all the vaccines to say, "You'll be right." You know, you'll be right. What do you think? Should that not be a new campaign? You'll be right. Take your COVID vaccine.
Yeah, well, I suppose that it might be a good way of trying to promote them a bit more, because Australians seem to be a little bit reluctant now to go and get their fourth and fifth shots. But that might be something that they're probably considering. I'm surprised they haven't been offering financial incentives, Rick, for people to go and get the get their extra shot. But
that'll be the next thing. That will be the next thing. I mean, it's so ridiculous. I mean, if you've ever been to any parts of the world where there's genuine sickness and illness, like if you've ever been to Africa and there's people dying of malaria and you're offered free treatment to stop you from dying, or a free mosquito net or a free spray down of your walls to kill the mosquitoes on your walls, do you think they have to bribe the Africans to take the free nets and take a spray down of their house to keep their children alive? It's like, no, I refuse. Okay, we'll give you $100. When in the history of the world have you had to pay people to take a treatment for something that's supposedly lethal and could kill them and their families? This is a first, my friend. And it's in a way, it's another chapter in the clown world tome that we're currently working our way through. This is just lunacy after lunacy. And financial incentives, you brought them up. I would not be surprised to see them coming into play. We've got to take a real quick news break, 30 seconds. When we come back, I want to look at this financial incentive business. The insanity also ported onto climate change and farmers to try and buy farmers out of their land and also to cull their herds. So we'll do that when we come back after this short break here for news on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a quick check of the day's headlines. After burning through more than $21 million of taxpayers' money, Australia's new government has taken an axe to the country's so-called COVID-safe app. The FBI has come under fire for setting a dangerous precedent after raiding the home of former President Donald Trump. And a new survey out of the United States has revealed that twice as many Americans have died after receiving a COVID vaccine than those who've died from the disease itself.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Yeah, help us to make a difference. If you're listening in and you've got someone you think would be good to have on the show, go on to the suggestion form on the website, tntradio.live. Fill it in. We may or may not be able to accommodate you. If you want a subject to be covered, we may or may not be able to accommodate that. But hey, if you don't ask, you don't get. And we are open for suggestions. Yeah, and by the way, just as a little aside here, I'm not sure if I should say this or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's going to be a little change possibly happening next week with the formatting of some of the shows that are on, you know, the three-hour shows like this one. So if you think it's high octane and fast-paced now, whoo, next week it's going to step up a gear or two. We have some new formatting ideas that we're going to try out, I believe. Can't tell you what they are right now, but they will be in effect from Monday, I understand, and I'll be straight out of the blocks on Monday morning with this new format to my show. But the quality will still be there, of course. The quality of guests, of course, but it'll be very punchy. So anyway, that's just a little spoiler alert, just a little exclusive here on Locked and Loaded. So Stephen, money. Will they break out the checkbooks to try and incentivize us to take these jobs? I think people genuinely, they've reached that point where they're like, I'm not taking any more. The drop-off rates and jobs are going down. The uptake among children, thank God, is very, very low indeed. They're still pushing mandates for health workers or doctors or teachers in some territories and states in Australia, which is completely ludicrous considering it's not applied in most of the world. So again, there's no uniformity. Will they break out? Do you think you'll get an incentive? You know, Stephen, listen, you've held out for this long. You're struggling at the minute. You need to pay the rent. I'll give you $5,000. Take your job. What would you say?
Well, I'd tell them where to stick the $5,000, Rick. But I think ultimately, as you explained before, I think in the last interview about the, you know, the ways that they will ultimately be able to control us and you know taking away our property and bargaining for, you know, food and whatnot, and ultimately when we have nothing, I suppose, you know, we have to bargain with our bodies and do what they say. So, look, there's no doubt that they've got a plan. It's, you know, they're probably a little bit ahead of time, and but there's been a bit of panic. But, you know, it's 2030, I think, that so they've got a few years to sort of put it in place. And so I don't think that, you know, I think it's been deliberate at the moment, too, Rick, that they've taken their foot off the accelerator a bit to let things go back to normal and settle down as much as they can, so that people get this false sense of security that that they aren't out there to kill us, they aren't out there to enslave us, and then they will slowly then put the foot back on the accelerator. They're not going to do it drastically. They're going to do it, you know, over stages, and I think that's, you know, I mean, this plan's been in place for over 100 years, so, you know, they're not going to rush it overnight.
And typically we draw the short straw. We get to be the people that they actually executed on, you know. And I mean, I'm looking at you going, you know, you're a reasonably sane, intelligent gentleman. I'm sort of half sane and half intelligent. And we're literally talking seriously about being enslaved and controlled by a new world order. And it's happening, all right? Yeah. It's not the stuff of fantasy. It is going down right now, okay? And listen, mate, you got to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you cry. And if we don't retain our sense of humor about this, I don't know what we're going to do. And by the way, this 2030 thing, that's a red herring, all right? That's, I believe, to give us an idea, well, we've got 8 years before this kicks in. No, 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 no. If you want to catch someone off, you say, okay, I'm going to come and steal your car in 5 years, and say, all right, I don't need to worry about it today. And then you break in tonight and you're off with the car because my guard is down. I believe this 2030 thing is only a figure that's been thrown out for the like of us to say, well, we've got 8 years to turn this all around. We don't. The way things are going at the minute, if they are successful, you're talking 2 to 3 years maximum by 2025. Maximum, they will have this in place if they succeed in their evil plans and schemes. Think about it. It's a red herring to give us breathe. Think we have breathing space. Time, oh, we've got 8 years. You can do a lot in 8 years. No, forget about it. They are going hell for leather, or will be the remainder of this year, the next 12 months, hell for leather, trying to push this all through. So I think we need to make sure we don't drop our guards at any time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And look at that. Look at the push of climate. Look at the push with, I mean, Ukraine's hardly been, what, February, March, 6 months, not even 6 months, and already now they're hyping up Taiwan, and they're talking about, you know, other uprisings in other parts of the world and more wars and possibility of nuclear, this, that, and the other. I mean, they're kind of relentless at the minute on the energy price hikes. What's it like? What's it like for you guys paying energy bills out there? I mean, like for us, I'm getting letters. My electricity provider's writing to me all the time now, but it's not to say thank you for being such a good customer, Mr. Munn. It's like we're putting your prices up by another 28%, whether you like it or not. And I'm getting these letters quarterly. It's not nice.
Wow. Gosh. Yeah, well, that's where it's hitting us, isn't it, in the hip pocket. But the prices are going up in Australia too, and it just doesn't make I mean, there's just so many things. It's just a wave of different events hitting us all at once, and you sort of go under to sort of get your breath when the first event hits. You come back up, and then the next one's, you know, you've got to go back down. So it's just a matter of trying to time it and get your breath and, you know, take on the next set that comes your way. So,
Well, what do you do to cope? I mean, like, you know, you're a resilient kind of a guy, but I'm sure like everybody else that's listening, and me too. I mean, like, I have my days where I just put my head in my hands and I shudder to think, you know, the way this could all end up if it doesn't get checked. And if there isn't an uprising about it, you know, what do you do? What does Stephen Kelly do to try and maintain an element of sanity in his life? What's your coping mechanism like at the minute? How do you get through a week and a month when you feel like it's all bearing down? down on you. For the benefit of people listening that may be struggling, what's your coping mechanism?
Well,
and don't tell me drinking drugs, please.
No, but believe it or not, I tend to I go to look. I wouldn't say that I'm as resilient as I once was. I think that look, my foundations have been rocked quite a bit, Rick, with losing my job and resigning from it, but sort of coerced into doing that, and also my marriage breakup. So and not having fixed or permanent accommodation at the moment. So I'm sort of a little bit like a tree that's had its roots pulled out. So I'm surviving day by day. My mindset, you know, is I've got to change my mindset, because I sort of got to focus on, you know, not letting them beat us, and you know, because otherwise, if we give in, they win. And I've got to say that I think what keeps me going to some extent is my faith. I have always had a bit of a religious belief in God, although it's been rocked by what I see in the Catholic Church. But I think that deep down, you know, I was aware that these times were going to happen in a general sense, and I sometimes go to church regularly to sort of pray and put my faith in God, because I think that at the end of the day, I think what we're fighting cannot be beaten by human forces alone. There needs to be divine intervention to overturn the extent of the evil that's going on in the world.
Well, there does. And listen, this is how timely and in sync we are, right? I've just sent you a message. I want you to open up your WhatsApp and I want you to read it out. Right now, this is how snappy we are here. So you said you felt like a tree who's been pulled out of the ground. Is that correct? You just said that a minute ago, yeah? Now, I've just sent you a message through. Something came into my head from the Bible. I've just sent it through to you. Read it out.
Okay, this is from Job chapter 14, 7-9. For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant.
What do you think of that?
That's quite prophetic, isn't it, really, for you know, what I said in these times, that, you know, there is hope that you know, that new bud will grow and you know, that life will carry on.
Exactly. And you know, I didn't know we were going to talk about this. Obviously, I had nothing prepared. But listen, when you're in the spirit, all right, and somebody says something, bang, it's just the answer is there. The relevant scripture is there. Okay, and that's evidence of it. So you talked about a heart period, talked about losing your job through bullying and coercion, a marriage breakdown, no fixed abode, general stress, okay? Your faith has been rocked somehow by the people that you would have put faith in the past, which was the Catholic Church. So understandably, you feel like a tree that's been cut down and pulled up by the roots, and you're kind of dying on your feet a little bit. And there's the scripture, bang, 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 Job 14, 7-9. There is hope of a tree that even though it's cut down and the roots are dead and the branches have all fallen off, that if it gets a scent of water again, it will come back to its former self. So you, Stephen Kelly, that's a message for you today. Never mind the listener. All right, for you, you keep on in there, Stevo, because the old tree might be pulled up, the old branches might be a little bit wilted, and the leaves may have dropped off your tree. But there's hope, my friend. Can I get an amen?
Yes, amen. Amen.
I like this because, listen, we have to encourage people, all right? And whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God, I don't care. That's up to you. That's your personal choice. I'm just saying that's an evidence of, I believe, the Spirit working in unison between two people who have the same faith. to provide the right words at the right time for somebody who feels like a dead tree. And lo and behold, we're talking about a dead tree can have hope. So maybe you're out there, you've got a business, you've lost it, you've got family members who've died, you've got a marriage that's fell apart, a business that has folded, a job that you can't do anymore because of mandates, and it looks like there's a tsunami of debt and destruction and economic hardship coming, which there is. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make it through. You just got to hold your breath and try and time the old waves coming over your head. And if you stay in there and you stay strong, listener, Stephen Kelly, Rick Munn, you will persevere and you will weather out the storm, but you can't quit under no circumstances. Can you quit? That is the message of the day. And so say all of us. So listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break just to breathe again. Take 2 minutes, listen to some wonderful ads. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up this segment here with Stephen Kelly from an unknown hotel room somewhere in the outback in Australia on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Oh, where is the hurricane season? Oh, where can it be? Now look, TNT listeners, the rest of this has to be better. And when you recoil from the horror of climate change, just think, you went through listening to me sing. The fact is, the hurricane season in the Atlantic is only 20% of normal right now. We are anticipating it to come to life big time later this month and on into September. As a matter of fact, there are some correlations to years where the East Coast of the United States gets hit worse. Speaking of the Eastern United States, it's going to cool down quite a bit. Western Europe is boiling away, but they're going to cool down in week two. And Central Asia, holy smokes, major cold shock coming in next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT. Asking you to enjoy the weather. It is the only weather you've got.
People join Walk MS to raise awareness and funds that change the world for everyone affected by multiple sclerosis. Walk MS brings communities together, creating teams with friends, loved ones, and coworkers to rally around those we care about and end MS forever. Together, we can change the world for people with MS. Register today at walkms.org.
Government couldn't stop a flu-like virus.
And now they want you to believe they can stop the Earth's climate from changing?
The voice of reason is TNT Radio.
Yes, the voice of reason doesn't apply to me, of course, but I'm sure there's a few presenters out there that are the voice of reason. I don't know what I'm the voice of, but I'm a voice anyway. Maybe the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I don't know. I would like to think I am, but who knows? Anyway, let's go from Job to Spain. All right. And no, that wasn't Job. That was Nona. Jonah, but anyway, sorry, I was going to get into something else. Okay, so you're in Australia. It can get cold in the winter, and it can get very warm in the summer. So in the summer, it's nice. As an Aussie, I would think I don't have this problem you have because we don't get hot weather here. We just get warm weather. It'd be nice to have air conditioning to keep you cool, and in this winter, it would be nice to have a little bit of heat to keep you warm. That's kind of the way it works. So in Spain, because of their energy crisis at the minute, they are limiting the aircon in hotels and public places, etc., to 27 degrees Celsius. So at night, if you're sweltering, you can't have the temperature any lower than 27 in your hotel room. Or they say it's not in hotel rooms because they're private places, but in public areas, it has to be 27 Celsius. Now, that's hot, especially indoors. 27 is hot. You would like to think they would get it down around 18 or 19, but no. And in the winter time, they're not allowed to put it up now above 19 degrees Celsius. That's warm enough, they say. They're bringing in this rationing. A, is that not more control? And B, is it not to cause more physical stress? So if you're in that hotel room and you're roasting, man, you're roasting, it's like 30 degrees at night, the lowest you can go is 27. Is it even worthwhile? You know, it's like I can't even get cool at night. They're making me sweat all night. You know, is there no end to their wickedness?
Exactly. I mean, that's just it's hard to fathom, isn't it? And these hypocrites that those in the that are spreading this climate fear, including all world leaders, and Albanese's one of them, have no qualms at all traveling the world in jets and living the high life and having the biggest carbon footprints of anyone in the world, but they won't be living by the same rules. So it's just, look, it's just never before in humanity has, you know, I think that we have confronted such evil on such a global scale, and this is just unprecedented, Rick. And I do believe that eventually there's going to come a tipping point at some point in the world, whether it's through a divine intervention or whether the citizens of the world slowly stop complying with this tyranny and start to hold these evil characters to account. Who knows what will occur first? But I think, look, ultimately, I don't see that as they start to tighten the screws on people and their lives, that eventually there's going to be more resistance sooner or later.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about it is too, in a way, I think what they do is they kind of rub our noses in things. Again, it's part of the demoralization process, or they rub salt in our wounds. So, for example, you have someone like Albo who's banging on about climate change, but as soon as he took office, I think he was sworn in on the Monday, which was the fastest ever swearing in between being elected on the Saturday. He took his oath on the Monday. And that week, he was straight over to somewhere like Indonesia or Taiwan on a trip. He's been jetting around all over the place. His carbon footprint's horrific. Justin Trudeau, last week, I think, was photographed getting off a private jet with his family, unmasked, in Costa Rica, where they had gone for a vacation. And then someone superimposed footage from Toronto Airport, where there's just hell on earth trying to get flights cancelled, queuing up, Canada app needs to be used, baggage being lost. We're seeing horror stories for travel, and it's not through mandates, it's because of the experience itself. Like Qantas, am I half expecting a message to come through from their legal department this week? I've been giving them a lot of stick this week, but it's a fact. Qantas, United Airlines, and the main airport operators are absolutely abusing their customers and their patrons because they're just treating them like dirt. Whereas we see these so-called elites, who I call globalist scum, that's their correct title, are just swanning around, living the life of Riley. And I believe, Stephen, it's part of the, we're better than you, we don't work the way you work, that's the way it is, so get used to it, peasant. I think that's the mindset that these people are, the message they're trying to push.
Yes, couldn't agree with you more, Rick. But the sad reality is that, a famous archbishop said, you know, evil might have its hour, but God will have his day. And that all this destruction and evil that they're putting in place, they're not gonna end up enjoying the benefits of the fruits of it for too long anyway, because they're the ones that will ultimately be destroyed in the end when divine justice intervenes in relation to.
So.
Yeah, so it's all for naught, this. You know what I mean? The people like Gates and all the rest that are buying up all the farms and that want to start killing off the animals and controlling what we can and can't eat. I mean, this is they're not going to win this battle in the end. And what they're doing is that they're destroying their own salvation. So, reason?
They have at the minute. You know, the reality is at the minute they're having their 15 minutes of fame. That's happening right now. We see that. Nobody can dispute that. They're having their little moments of glory. Their feelings of, you know, superpower, and we are the best and we control things and what we say goes. They're very conceited. They're full of contempt for other people, and they believe they're above and beyond any justice and retribution. That's what they think. And I absolutely do believe that in the end, they will all be cut down and disappeared. And even on a physical level, you know, there's a guy called Yuri Bizmenov, who was a Russian KGB agent, came to the US and did a series of lectures. And what he said was, what these people who are facilitating this don't understand is that when ultimately the new world order is implemented, if it goes according to plan, they're the first people that will be displaced and disappeared. They're called useful idiots. They have been useful for a period. Like, do you really think Anthony Albanese is going to have a place in a one world government? He's inept. Or Scott Morrison, or Jacinda Ardern, or Justin Trudeau, or Emmanuel Macron, or Boris Johnson, or Liz Truss, or Rishi Sunak. Do you actually think that some guy's going to look at them and go, he's going to look at them and go, disappear them ASAP, get shot of them ASAP, and they don't get it, they're going to be the first necks on the block? And you know what? I don't mean to gloat, but hasten the day. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it.
You think they'll keep Joe Biden?
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, you know what? They may keep him for comedic purposes. He could be like the court jester. You know, they'll give him an ice cream and they'll tell him to try and put his jacket on and tell him to read off a cue card. I'm sorry to say, but that guy is just, he's being used to undermine the image of America even further, as is Kamala Harris, as is Nancy Pelosi, as is Karine Jean-Pierre, the press secretary. They're clown-like, inept buffoons who are being used at the minute to, tarnish America's image as much as it can on the international stage, and they're doing a damn fine job of it. It's to weaken America. America has to be weakened, and America, this cannot go ahead. This full implementation cannot go ahead until America falls. And by heaven, Stephen, are they going hell for leather to try and destroy that country, that once great nation? It's in a terrible state right now. It's woeful to watch, actually.
Yeah.
So that's what I think they're doing.
Sad times, Rick, but as you say, let's not give up hope.
No. Let's not give up hope. And listen, tomorrow's another day. And even today, you know, a lot of people say about tomorrow's another day, but you've still got the rest of today. You can still do something positive today. So let's try and end on a positive note here, because we've covered a lot of heavy ground. Some people may be a little bit bamboozled, but I like to think we've inspired and G'd a few people up, challenged a few people, provoked a few people, caused a few people to stop and think and realize that they may be down, but they're not out yet. Okay. So the old question, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Well, you work in the legal side of things. You worked in the police side of things. I'm in the broadcasting side of things. People could say, well, I can't reach a lot of people like you can, and I can't deal with legal issues like Stephen can or Tony can, and I can't do this. And that's true. All right. But what can you do? Sit and examine what you can do. Look at your own sphere of influence, your own immediate family or friend circle or neighbors in the street in which you live, and say, okay, I know someone two doors down. I know they're getting it tight. I know they're struggling. They've got a young family. Maybe they're going through financial difficulties. If you've got a few dollars, literally, go to the supermarket. I spoke to a friend last night. He was like, what can I do right now? And I said, listen, you've got a bit of spare cash. You know people that are struggling. Go to the supermarket, put together a bag of essentials, and drop it around and say, listen, either leave it anonymously on their doorstep or give it to the person and said, listen, someone gave me a gift and I was told to help you out. So there you go. It will make someone's day. Can we not just do little things like that? And if we all do little things like that, massive things will happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
So that's my suggestion. What's your suggestion?
Well, I agree with what you said. I think that's, you know, it's the small things that will make a difference. And, you know, a priest said to me once too, he said, don't make big promises because you always break them. So always make small little promises each day to do something good for someone. And, you know, and that will certainly go a long way towards making a positive difference in someone's yeah. life. And I think if every person woke up each day and had that same thought and acted in that way, you know, that we would be not in the state that we're in today as a society.
I agree. Let me take it a step further past your priest, all right? Let me say this, don't promise anything at all. Don't say anything, just do it, okay? So don't say, you know, next week I'm going to help you out, Stephen. Next week I'm going to give you a call. Just do it. That way you remove all possibility of disappointing that person because, as you've mentioned, there's nothing worse than getting your hopes built up and then having them dash. So let's not be talkers like me, blah, 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 blah. Let's be doers. Let's do stuff more than talk stuff. And let's not make promises. Let's have actions. And I think that's a good way to summarize our little conversation today. So as always, to Stephen Kelly, thank you so much for joining me at this late hour from your transient accommodation. I appreciate it. We'll stay in touch. Speak to you again soon. Big love to you and family, etc. I'll be back after the break with Basil Valentine. More of the same here in Locked and Loaded. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.